Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa's John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center and their National Science Foundation I-Corps Training Program, helping faculty, staff, and students make an impact with their innovations and research. More at iowajpec.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It got cold fast. Windows and doors are shut. Furnaces are running. And we're all spending a lot more time indoors. And thanks to the pandemic, ventilation and air quality feel more important than ever. Our home improvement expert Bill McAnally is on the line today to help us understand the air quality in our homes. Hi, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Charity. How you doing?
Great. Thank you for being here, or at least being on the phone. I wish we were in the studio together. You introduced me.
Yeah, it's pretty tough sitting here drinking coffee, looking out the window.
Well, you enjoy it.
Yeah.
You introduced me to a phrase yesterday, since I'm not a builder, that has been a mantra for a long time: build tight, ventilate right. Tell me a little bit about what builders are thinking about when they build a house.
Well, you know, that's a phrase that really started probably back in the 1980s from a couple of building scientists. One was Joe Stiebrick. He's a name that a lot of builders recognize because he speaks all over the world, and Mark LaLiberte, he does the same thing, and both of them are trainers for energy efficient, healthy homes. There's a website, buildingscience.com, that Joe Stiebrick, he's the lead engineer there, that are constantly testing how we build and how we can make buildings healthier and safer, and looking at, you know, longevity of materials and how these things may affect the indoor air quality, or just a lot of things that, you know, now really are coming in focus because of COVID. Now, Mark Liberté has really been leading a lot of this too through his company, Building Knowledge and Construction Instruction. He's from the Midwest. He was in the Twin Cities for a long time. So he understands, you know, cold weather, humidity. You know, when he was living in his house and his buildings up in the Twin Cities, you know, he was constantly dealing with, okay, here I have an office space. How do I have the best indoor air quality as well as that, you know, our home for his family, things like that. So they were constantly looking at these things, and it was usually just, you know, moisture and maybe some indoor contaminants and gases given off by, you know, the building materials, which have changed a lot. But so I kind of give credit to both those guys for coming up the term. But it is true. You try to build a house absolutely as tight as possible, and it's required by building code to do so. But then you have to come back and you have to ventilate it. And, you know, people say, well, that's kind of stupid. You know, why don't you just build it loose? Well, if you build a house leaky, you have no idea where the air is coming, where it's going. Are we going to have mold in walls, things like that? So with the proper ventilation, you control the humidity level in your house, and you control how clean your air is and getting rid of odors and things like that. But now that the COVID has come around, now we're looking at, you know, now we're looking at trying to get rid of, what about these, you know, this virus? How can we possibly, you know, knock down the levels, you know, in our living spaces? And there's, you know, there's been a lot of steps just in the last few months. You know, you don't see a lot of that in the media about this particular part, but everybody's talking about masks, you know, things like that. But you do have to, in order to control that air, you want to be able to make the home, a new home, tight. And in retrospect, you know, when we were tightening up older homes, especially when we started doing weatherization programs back in the, you know, 70s and 80s of the last century, we didn't really think about what we were thinking, what we were doing to the air inside. We just wanted to, you know,
make it
our,
less expensive
to
heat
oil.
It, and right, yeah.
That's it. You know, yeah, we didn't really think about, you know, what are we doing to this house? What are we doing with the air inside? And, you know, when we look back, we look at, you know, there was a lot of times when we would have a lot of people sick, and we couldn't figure out why until we actually looked at what kind of air do we have inside this house that, you know, the people are breathing. You know, what kind of contaminants? One of the first things that people noticed was we were using a lot of formaldehyde in our building products. We don't anymore, but, you know, back then you'd walk into a brand new house and smell like your high school zoology class, you know, and you got done, digging up parts of a frog or something, all that doggone stench came right back to you in your memory banks. And we eliminated those things, but then there's so many other chemicals and other things in the air that we don't, you know, really notice. You know, we just can't, we just can't catch it with our nose or our eyes. But, you know, there's a lot of little things that indicate that we do have some issues, you know, with the indoor air quality.
So if you have problems with ventilation, obviously if you're getting sick a lot or something like that, that might be an indicator of some serious problems. But there are also things that you can see in your house that indicate that you might have a ventilation problem. What are some of the tells?
Well, a lot of them is, you know, just even odors. You know, if you have consistent odors in your house, like let's say you made something for supper last night, and whatever it was, you can smell the next morning. You know, that means that your house hasn't evacuated that air yet. And a lot of times those odors will hang around more because you might have too much humidity in the house. If you see, on the windows, even now it's really not that cold, but if you start getting condensation on windows at this temperature and you haven't had drapes covering the window, so if it's a big picture window, you know, and you've got some condensation on the bottom now, you probably either have really, really old windows, single pane windows, or you have too much humidity inside the house. And that leads to, you know, all kinds of things. If you have natural draft furnaces and water heaters, and by that I mean they have a galvanized, you know, pipe coming off the top of the units that go outside that you're burning inside air, and then it naturally drafts and goes up, hopefully, you know, outside, so you don't have carbon monoxide problems. Because one of the indicators of carbon monoxide, even though if the levels aren't high, is you have excess moisture inside the house. And there again, a lot of times that can show up, you know, just as condensation on windows.
So that is an indicator. You also have some ways to monitor your indoor air quality, and we've talked about that in the past, having a radon detector, having a carbon monoxide detector.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, there's a lot of little hygrometers. You know, a thermometer, gives you the temperature that you see, but hygrometers will give you what your relative humidity is inside the house. And relative humidity just means that how much moisture the air can hold relative to what the temperature is. So let's say, you know, when you're watching the news, they'll say, okay, today's relative humidity is 70%, you know, which kind of uncomfortable. If it goes up higher, you know, then you start seeing more moisture, you're feeling more uncomfortable. And so that's what relative humidity means. But when you are, let's say, sitting at your maybe kitchen table, and you're feeling pretty good, and you might have a little monitor or hygrometer on the wall already that says, hey, it's 40% relative humidity, which in a home, you know, Mayo Clinic wants you to be somewhere between 30 and 50. So 40% relative humidity is pretty good, you know, a healthy one. It might be high or low depending on the people, you know, what their comfort level is. But as you go towards the window surface is colder. And so the actual relative humidity starts climbing, and then all of a sudden it hits that glass, which is cooler, so the warm moisture drops out and condenses on the glass. So sometimes we get kind of a false feeling, I guess, when we see a digital readout and we think, okay, I've got 40%, that's great. Well, it depends where you're sitting, and it depends on what you're measuring. So if you have a leaky house and you have cool air somehow sneaking in places that cold air can come in, and then the relative humidity at that point is high enough where you may get some moisture actually on your walls. You'll see a lot of times the top of the wall, you only get this ghosting. It looks like candle soot. And the relative humidity might just be fine in the middle of the house, but if you have poor insulation or poorly sealed home, you can actually start getting this, and you might start getting some mold growth in places, and then you start stirring it up and you start breathing it. So that's why we've looked more at building as tight as you can and then ventilating it so we can control the humidity and can bring in fresh air and take stale air out. And the best way to do that is either using a heat recovery ventilator, which takes air outside, brings air in, and then they kind of cross each other but don't touch each other inside this unit. It's like going through a honeycomb, and it transfers the temperature, so you're not just taking 70 degree air from inside the house, kicking it out. As cold air comes in, it actually robs some heat off of the warm air going out. And it sounds complicated, but really you end up saving heat. So the air might come in at 50 degrees instead of, say, 20 degrees. We also have energy recovery ventilators, and these can either be small units. You actually put in, bathrooms or kitchens. You can do two or three of them at a time, or to do one big whole house when there's a lot of variables now. So an energy recovery ventilator does temperature and humidity. So some houses, if they tend to be dry, they can actually save some of the humidity that would be kicking out during the winter. We're kind of in this sweet spot of which one to use. So you'd want to talk to your heating and cooling person of what they recommend for wherever you're living, here in the Midwest. Kitchen fans, like range hoods, they're great. Except if you're using a gas range, and I just hate gas ranges because they give off carbon monoxide. So if you're cooking, think about where that range hood is. The range hood is right there in front of you, and when you kick it on, it pulls the fumes up from the fire right past your face. So you're breathing it in and taking it out. Everybody else in the room, they're not getting any, but you're getting it if you're cooking.
Bill, we're going to have to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, on the air today, and he's ready to answer your questions. This is Talk About.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa's John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center and their National Science Foundation iCORE training program, helping faculty, staff, and students make an impact with their innovations and research. More at iowajpec.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Home Improvement Day today on Talk of Iowa, and our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here with us, or at least on the telephone with us, and he's here to answer your questions. Give us a call, 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. Tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Bill, before we dive into questions, I want to talk just briefly about radon mitigation systems, because they're a system, obviously, if you have radon in your air, you need it because that can be terrible for your health. But you actually find that they are beneficial in other ways as well, right?
Yes. When we talk to with a lot of the radon mitigation people that, I've talked to some when I've done conferences before, and they'll come up and we just like to, talk about, cool stuff to us, is they really noticed that they get a lot of calls back from people that they've installed systems in to, lower their levels of radon or eliminate the radon levels in their homes. And most of the time what they do is, they'll put these in, mount them into a basement. They'll drill through the basement floor or tie into their sump pump system or something. So what they're doing is they have a fan on this pipe that sucks the air up the pipe, which really causes a negative pressure in the soil under your basement floor and around the basement walls. It's just a little bit, and so it just pulls that gas out. Well, when it's pulling the gas, and why we didn't think of this 20 years ago, but as it's pulling the gas, it's pulling moisture vapor out as well. So people will call and say, you know, ever since you put that thing in, I don't have to run my dehumidifier anymore. And when you look at the benefits of getting rid of the radon, and then you cap on top of that, you're dropping the humidity levels in your basement, making it more of a good living space. And, you know, that was really surprising, kind of hit you right in the side of the face. And so a lot of guys are specifying a radon system in, and then they'll put in the specifications on the new house. They'll put radon / moisture vapor mitigation, because you're getting a benefit from both of those things. You know, besides getting rid of maybe some subsoil odors, you're getting rid of the vapor and making the space, you know, more livable on top of the, you know, dropping your radon levels.
We have a lot of people with a lot of questions, and I'm sure that some of those will be about air quality. They don't have to be about air quality, just whatever project is on your to-do list or whatever problem you're encountering. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Let's go to another Bill in Dubuque. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
My question is, redid my bathroom a couple years ago, did a tile surround for the bathroom, new fixtures, cabinets, everything. And I'm having like spots on my ceiling, looks like mold. So I don't know if I have a lot of moisture in there, how do I get it out, or how do I stop that from occurring?
Well, do you have a bath fan in there right now?
I do.
Okay. Is it is one of these little cheapo ones? Is it a good one that you had to pay a substantial amount of money for,
Well, it's a Braun, I believe.
Okay, well,
you know,
what happened
to get a Menards or...
Oh, okay. Okay, what you really want to have in there is a fan that, first of all, it's got to be going outside. And by outside, I don't mean into the overhang, because then the vapor ends up coming right back into your attic space again. It has to go out the roof, and that vent pipe should be insulated as well, so as it goes out the roof, because a lot of times when they're put in, they just empty into the roof or into the attic,
sure.
And then that moisture condenses, and then it comes down, and it may be getting into your sheetrock and causing some issues. That's one thing. The next one is, a lot of times we have it just hooked up to the light switch. So let's say we take a shower, dry off, go out, shut the light off. Now the fan shut off. The fan should be running for, you know, most people will say, hey, let's let this thing run for at least 20 minutes after we've shut the light off, so it evacuates all that extra moisture. That could be the simplest one, and is to get it an on and off switch with a timer. The other one could be that there could be some insulation issues above the bath, the shower area, that maybe the wind has come in the overhangs and blown some insulation back, and you have very little insulation, or air is getting in from the edge of the roof where the overhang is. It blows across the top of the drywall because there's nothing to stop the air from blowing in, and it can cool the drywall in that ceiling enough that any warm, moist air goes up, hits the drywall, and then it condenses, and then you have that mold. So there's three things to really look at. When we do bathrooms now, we put in an ERV, energy recovery fan, and they actually help ventilate, you know, a couple rooms around you as well. You know, they're around $500. Panasonic makes a Whisper Comfort, and I'm not pushing any brands or anything. It's just that we've had a lot of success for that one. With Whisper Comforts, really are very quiet, and somewhere around $500 or so. But at least you can leave it on, leave the door open to the bathroom, and then you get ventilation for part of the house as well.
Is it better to get a bigger fan for the area, or?
Not necessarily, you know, because they, there's, you know, a lot of times like a, you know, 40 to 60 CFM is good. Some run 100, CFM depends on how fast you want to evacuate that. The fan you have, because Braun makes really good equipment, the fan you have may be just fine. It's just that, you know, maybe a couple of those other issues are occurring. So I'd check those out first before I, you know, change fans or anything.
Now the pipe, you said, need to be insulated. What about that flexible ductwork? Would that be something that you would steer away from? Or
You do not want to have the flexible like that kind. You want solid metal. All the seams should have a mastic, and by mastic I mean it's a brush on, kind of like a putty on all of the seams, even the long seam where you put the pieces together, and that whole thing should be completely insulated. And because we see a lot of issues when they're not put in correctly, and maybe what happened is maybe somebody actually stepped on it in the attic and crunched. We've had that. So it sounds like the fan's working, but really nothing's going on.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for your call, Bill. Good luck with that.
Yes.
And next up.
Good question from Bill.
You're biased. All right.
Yes, I am.
Next up, let's go to Jeff in Des Moines. Hi, Jeff.
Hello there. Good morning.
Hi.
Morning.
Hi, Bill. Hey, I'm wondering, I have an older home and an unfinished basement, and I noticed I have some ductwork that goes from my furnace. It looks like it pulls directly from the outside. It runs along the ceiling in the basement, and then it drops down into this sort of an elbow that goes out through the middle pane of this egress window, which is, you know, below grade. And I keep looking at that thing, wondering if that, because it's an older home, if that's proper today. And I asked once a plumber, at least, who came over to look at some of my water piping. And he said, well, it's kind of like your car, like that little switch that says where you're mixing it with the outside air, or you can turn that off and just circulate the inner air. And so I'm just wondering if that's, is that an efficient thing that I should be continuing to utilize? Or, I mean, he said, well, you don't need that. You can actually get rid of that. I mean, it does take up, say, headroom in my... So I was wondering if that is a proper way to draw from into my to my furnace.
Not anymore, no.
Okay.
A lot of people still do that. I mean, that's stuff they did back in the 70s and 80s. Get a reputable heating and cooling person there, and because they used to say, okay, this is for makeup air for the heating and cooling. Well, you probably have a high efficiency furnace now, which you don't want, and to have that kind of a pipe coming in, because the first thing that happens, if they read the directions, that as soon as you run that pipe from outside and you go through a winter, you might as well throw the warranty away, because it's dropping cold air down into that unit, because cold air drops.
Okay.
So if that unit's not running, so you're dropping super cold air sometimes down into the coil and everything, and you could trash your furnace by dropping that cold air down in there. Not to mention is they say, okay, you're bringing air in. Well, not necessarily, because if the unit isn't working, it can be going out. It doesn't have to be coming in all the time, depending on which way the wind is going, what kind of pressures are inside the house. It might just be, you know, throwing air in, and even on an old house, sometimes you kick on a couple bath fans and a vent hood, and you can be sucking cold air in there, you know, into the house, and there again, mixing it. Now you're trying to heat it because you've got too much cold air. There's a lot better ways to, handle a whole system like that now. So I'd take a look at it and, you know, first of all, pull that thing out of there, and then have an HVAC person come over. But first thing I would do before you take it out is have them come and look at it. And because to make sure that there hasn't been any damage to the heating and cooling unit because of it being there, and then have them tell you to take it out, because they're the ones that are making the professional decision. I'm just here as a, you know, talking ugly head in a plastic bag kind of thing here. So just, but have them really look at it as soon as you can, though, because you could be ruining your equipment.
Well, and just in a general sense, then, if I do get rid of it, am I just circulating the inside air, you know, through
and
the unit and not having any
and
source
you'd be better,
of...
Well, you'll want to, you know, that's what he comes over and says, okay, we want to bring in fresh air, even though your old house is probably pretty leaky. Is there's all kinds of types of fans and systems that can bring fresh air in but not dump them directly into, you know, your heating and cooling unit. And that's why there's so many new things coming out. It seems like every month, you know, that new equipment, is coming out. The big advantage, if it was just running, is you would upgrade to, I say, a MERV 13 fan. That's kind of what they're saying for like COVID and virus and bacteria. Most of them come with like a MERV, which is just a rating for filters, a MERV 8.
Okay.
But the thing is, though, mistake I used, and I'll admit to it, I used to say, we got to get these really super good filters, but some of the fans aren't capable of pushing air through those real, you know, high-density filters. So that's why you need to bring them in and say, what's the best, you know, high-efficiency filter I can put in this, you know, married to this particular fan size? It's, you know, it's CFM capability. That's okay. Yeah, that's, you know, something we've learned as well.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Bill.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Yep.
Thanks a lot for your call, Jeff. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And next up, let's go to David in Iowa City. Hi, David.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Hi. My question is, would it be a good idea to put a HEPA filter in the furnace? And from what you just said, I'm beginning to think it's not a good idea.
Well, it's a good idea if your furnace can handle it. And that's where you want, you know, you want to get, you know, a heating and cooling HVAC person over to take a look, because they can look at the unit and then they'll be able to tell you, okay, this is the size of fan that came with it. And, so with that, this is the highest rated, you know, one we can put in. And there's different types of, systems as well that you can tie into your heating and cooling that will be additional filtration. You know, like they make a small units that kind of pass some of the air through, that not all of it at a time, but that just goes through a little bit less and starts filtering it out, not all at once, but a little bit at a time. There's a lot of stuff out there. Plus, you know, start looking into the ultraviolet technology right now. A lot of people are switching to the ultraviolet to kill bacteria and viruses. That goes in line. Either they can put it in the ductwork, or a lot of them will put them on, say, even in a room that where air will pass by. They're actually making ceiling fans. I was reading about these the other day. You know, large diameter ceiling fans, and they pull the air up towards the ceiling, and then there are ultraviolet lights on top of the fan blades, and it kills the bacteria and viruses as the air is pulled past it. So things are really, you know, changing. So, you know, get with your HVAC person and really have a good discussion with them on that one, because you still may be able to. It depends on what, you know, system you have.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for your call,
you bet, thanks.
David. And here's an email question from Anne. The home we bought a few years ago was built in 1995. It is well insulated, and we've put new windows in a few years ago. There is a gas fireplace in the basement that is not ventilated to the outside. We have not used it for that reason. Is it safe to use? If not, would getting it ventilated out or switching to an electric fireplace be more energy efficient?
You know, me personally, I would get rid of it. There's no reason to ever have any type of a combustion appliance in your home, especially like that. You turn that on, I mean, there's no positives except it looks cute. You know, if you like the look of a fireplace, the electric ones, I'm thinking about doing one even for my house, because they're looking so realistic, and I really don't care if anybody thinks it's real or not. I just like the look of the flame. You know, that, so there's no reason to have it. I'd get rid of it. And, you know, I wouldn't even want to put it on a garage sale or anything, because I don't want to pass something bad to somebody else. Me personally, I just take it and throw it in the recycling bin. So nobody else would be stuck with
well,
it.
Well, I think the reason to have it is a lot of people really love them.
Sure.
But
that's
you,
okay.
Right. But you, I mean, you've seen enough
vented,
that
right.
You consider
now, you know,
them to be
that's
dangerous.
That's the key. Yeah. Yeah. Because if they're not vented, like there's a lot of nice gas fireplaces, and there's some really nice gas fireplace, especially some that come from Canada that are sealed. So it's a sealed combustion, just like a high efficiency furnace. And those are great. But anytime that the fumes the combustion fumes of nitrous oxide or carbon monoxide can get into your home, there's no reason to have it in there. And that's me personally. So that's, you know, I don't see a reason like the, to me, I liken it to backing your car up, you know, to your window and letting it run, or letting the car run in your garage. It's the same doggone thing. It, you know, you're burning combusting a fuel, and the gases are going to go somewhere, and you don't need them in your house, especially in a basement, because there's just usually no ventilation at all in a basement. You're just kind of trapped in there.
Yeah, well, I imagine this winter, with a lot of people being at home a lot more, they're going to want a cozy, bright feeling. So that's something really important to think about if that's something you have in your home.
Very.
We are going to take a short break, Bill. We'll be back in just a moment. And of course, you can ask Bill your questions. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. Tweet us at Iowa Public Radio, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa's John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center and their National Science Foundation I-Corps Training Program, helping faculty, staff, and students make an impact with their innovations and research. More at iowajpec.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here with us today, here to answer your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Mark is on the line next in Des Moines. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. What's your question?
Well, a little change of subject. I'm calling about a low-frequency hum that we're getting in the house. Started, very for brief periods about 18 months ago, but now it's increasing. You can kind of pretty much detect it 24 hours a day. And I've shut off the water main that wasn't not connected to the water system. I shut off the main electrical panel, so it's not an electrical hum. Had the radon motor tested. It's not that. And so what I'm wondering is, I'm trying to contact a company that would, or a business that would come out and try and locate the source of that hum. And it's very low frequency, probably 20, 30 hertz. So it's going to take specialized equipment to be able to detect that low a frequency. So I wondered if Bill had any information or suggestions on who I could contact.
That is a really annoying problem, Mark. Bill, you got anything?
Well, you know, first of all, you really got good hearing. years ago,
but you can also feel it. I mean, it's that low.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's so, kind of cool.
Is not the right word. All right.
Yeah, I know.
I'm giving tours for $50, Bill, if you want to come down and take a tour and enjoy that.
Yeah, it's Hummoline is what it is instead of Halloween.
Sure. Yeah, oh, I like that. Very good.
Yeah. years ago, we built a house for a lady that she had just immaculate hearing, you know. And we got done with it, and she says, okay, I can hear this whistle. And we're all going, yeah, right, okay. And she even knew the key. And so we started looking, and there was air flowing through our ventilation system that was going through ductwork, and it was making, you know, because since I couldn't hear it, she just said it was a whistle. And we actually put some flexible ductwork for about 6 inches to get the air to tumble, and it stopped. But if you're hearing, you know, that was just through the air system. But boy, if you can feel it, that's just, I've been watching too much Netflix and Hulu. And so to me, you know, I get out of there. That's either poltergeists or aliens, one or the other. There's a guy out east. Okay. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. There's a person.
Okay, Mark's going to talk next. All right.
Okay. You don't feel it. Yeah, the presidential debate. Are you on a mute button?
So
you don't hear it. You don't feel it all the time. Just just occasionally, but you can hear it pretty much all the time.
All right, Bill, now you can talk.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Well, you have COVID, okay. That's
the deal. That helps a little bit. That helps a little bit because it you may have some ductwork that is screwed real hard to, say, floor joists. We sometimes would get a vibration when off of our ventilation units. When they would run, the fan would cause some vibration. You could feel it in the floor, and it, you know, you might even be able to hear it. Yeah. So they started making them instead of
connecting them directly. But we hear this regardless whether the AC or the furnace is running.
Okay, boy, you're just knocking everything down.
And to go one step further, I even went to an audiologist to check my hearing and just to see if it was super strong or bad, and I got the okay from them too. So,
well, the only person I know of that kind of gets a giggle out of this is his name is Peter Yost, Y-O-S-T, and he is in Vermont. And he kind of likes some of this. He might be able to steer you around. He's hard to get a hold of sometimes, but he's that Green Building Advisor. Just Google Peter Yost and tell him we talked. And because the only way I can usually get him to answer me is I have to promise him a John Deere T-shirt. So you might have to work at him that way. But he would be one. Plus, there is a person in Des Moines as well, and I could give you his name off the air if Charity, you know, gets a hold of me, because he's too busy anyway. But he kind of might like this one.
Okay, I'll hang on to your number. Also, I will tell you that we did have somebody call who said that she had a similar problem and it was her doorbell. So I don't know.
Well, as a matter of fact, just last week we had a delivery and they said the doorbell wasn't working. And so I replaced that and that didn't have any effect. No. I mean, we didn't think it was that, but.
Yeah, well, Bill, Mark, I will hold on to your number. I'll pass it along to Bill, and best of luck with that. What a weird and difficult problem. Let's go next to Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
We have a two-story row home, and so our kitchen stove, it's electric, but it's on an inside wall. And when we cook things in the oven, the odors, even though we have a microwave that has a built-in fan, even if we have that on, the smells just linger through the whole house for a lot longer than we would like. And I'm wondering if there's any way we can ventilate maybe to another space. I mean, it must be ventilating through the roof somehow, or if there's a unit that would might maybe have a microwave and a really powerful fan that we might put above it.
You know, some of the microwave fan unit combinations, they have the option of recycling the air just through the filter that really nobody ever cleans in the microwave, or out, you know, a 3 or 4 inch duct. They have that option, and many times they won't run the duct because it's going to be a couple hundred bucks more. You know, you could have someone, you know, pull the model number and everything off of the fan unit above the range now and see what its capabilities are. And if not, you can, upgrade somehow with a ventilation fan that would go outside. Is there a room up above you right now? Above that kitchen vent? I mean, is there like, okay. Hopefully there's a wall right above it as well. Above that wall, a lot of times they'll stack the walls. You may be able to get someone to remodel and put that in. If not, I've seen some people put a fan in and then they'll make kind of a false, you know, soffit along the ceiling to hide the ductwork, and it would run outside, you know, go from there. But those recycling ones just don't do anything for odors. They just really hold a lot of grease in them until you clean them.
So I'd be looking for one that has a duct, and then see if I can get it go outside. Like one wall goes to the garage, so maybe we could run a duct to the garage.
Well, yeah, you can't run it in there. Yeah, that violates fire code. So you can't. If you enclosed it in a, you'd have to get with your building inspector there to see what they want, because you never want to run anything out into the garage from the house. So you're just going to have to figure out a way maybe to, like, say, put a soffit in the ceiling or something to hide it. And you can make them decorative, and nobody ever, who would know unless you told them what that soffit, that little bump out on the wall is. If you run it in, even if you did run it into the garage, the excess humidity in there, you have all kinds of issues with condensation out there, because it has to be fire rated to go from the garage to the house, which causes all kinds of issues. A lot of times they don't think about that. That's the problem is how do we get that out of there? It's the cheap way to go is the way they did it with you.
Nancy, thanks for your call. And let's go next to Teresa in Iowa City. Hi, Teresa.
Hello.
Hi. What's your question?
I have a question about radon mitigation system. I had one installed a few weeks ago, and then I ran the test that they told me, I should do, and I sent it to the company called AccuStar or something like that. I got the results yesterday by email, and they tell me that level is still 4.5, which is what I had before the whole thing was installed. And what is that normal? I mean, the installation was done. I paid for it. And I still have the same problem. What should be done?
Well, I'd call them right away and say, hey, the level's exactly the same. There's an issue there. And I couldn't tell you what it could possibly be, because I've never heard anybody's do this before. It usually, a lot of times the preliminary test may be, let's say, even in the teens, like 15, 16. And when that comes back, it might be like, say, 0.1 or 0.2 even maybe one. But to be the same, I'd call the person back.
I did send him an email last time, and he said, well, that happens sometimes. We'll have to dig more holes to get, I guess, more of the air out from underneath the slab. But I wanted, since I heard you talk about it on the program, I thought I would check with you. It seems really weird to me that it should be just as bad as before.
Yeah.
And is it somebody that maybe did a lousy job,
it
still is bad after things were supposedly fixed?
Well, but one other thing to look at is it all depends what they tapped into, because if they might have done exactly everything right, and it depends how the house was built on top of the soil. If you have a really heavy, sticky clay that they tap down into, it may be damp, and it may be expanded, and it can't suck any air because of the type of soil that's underneath it. So you wouldn't get a change if it can't pull air. So, this person's, I don't know what kind of soil it is. So they may be right. They may have to try a little bit different system, but I'm glad they're, coming up with an idea instead of just saying, oh, well, we've done our work and that's good. So that's good they're working with you. So I'd keep everything positive with them, because, they'll come back and take a look at it and take care of it.
Yeah, Teresa, good luck with that. Thanks so much for your call. And we have an email also about a radon mitigation system from Greg in Story City. Not a question, just his story. He said, our house was built in 2005 without radon or fresh air mitigation. We solved both with an HRV that pulls from the sump corner of the basement. Eventually discovered that a lot of Iowa topsoil and arthropods were getting sucked into the HRV intake, and the coarse filter inside the HRV could only stop large bugs. The whole intake side was grossly filthy. Don't even ask me about what happened in the blizzard. Solved it with a 10 by 20 inch filter box with a MERV 8 filter on the intake close to the outside wall, plus a handmade filter bag inside to catch the coarser stuff, and shutting it down in blowing fine snow situations. I think this sort of thing needs to be standard on every installation. So
it sounds like it was put in wrong, because normally about the only thing that I'll get, and stupid me, I tend to open it up to clean the filters during right during the heavy mosquito season. And the screening on the intake is not big enough to hold back mosquitoes. So it's like out of a horror movie. I'll open the door and then you just covered in mosquitoes. So some people will put in fact, my father-in-law did this, like a nylon legging, and put that over and during those buggy seasons. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like though that there may need to have that installation looked at and get what's called the manufacturer, and because they always like these kind of stories. Call the manufacturer and they'll tell you what to do, and then you're in with their basically their warranty type.
All right, Bill, we only have about 2 minutes left, right. So let's try to get to a lightning round here, okay? Patty says, we are needing to replace cedar shakes on our 100-year-old house. Woodpecker damage. Would you recommend wood, composite, or hardy plank-type shakes?
Depends on how much you want to pay. Cedar shakes are just fine as long as you put something called cedar breather underneath it to allow them to dry. Composites are very high, and I didn't know that hardy plank was going to do shakes. They do make them for the sides, but they were going to make them for the roofs and found out they weren't going to work. Mm. But you have to really follow the directions on any cement siding. There's a lot of directions to follow for flashings and keeping them dry.
All right. Another question.
First lightning.
Yep. Dan in Centerville. Yes. How would you suggest to draw outside air into the house when using mini splits in basements and main level?
I would use a maybe a wall mounted HRV small unit, like I was just talking about. Panasonic's got one, that Whisper Comfort. And again, I'm not pushing anything, but that Whisper Comfort can either be mounted ceiling or wall, and it's made to fit in between 16-inch on-center studs. So that way you could bring in fresh air, especially when you're using mini splits, which are great.
All right. Tom in Ames says, I acquired a home that has no heat or has had no heat or water for about 5 years. Pipes froze at some point, and I can see the waste stacks have cracked. How likely is it that the seals and the toilets have gone bad with years of no use? Would you bother trying to get them working, or would you just replace?
I'd replace. For the price of them, it's not worth the hassle of having a leak and ruining your floor.
All right, you're doing great in this lightning round. One more, Bill. From Daryl, our hardwood floors in our 100-year-old home are not level. What are your suggestions? I know that's an unfair question with 30 seconds left.
Sand them down.
Sand them down?
Yep, sand them down. Sand them down, and if the floor joists are real bad, you have to go down to the basement and start re-leveling floor joists, but I wouldn't take that wood out of there. Keep it because it's cool. So just have somebody that's a floor sander and refinish it for you.
All right. Bill McAnally, thank you so much for being here today. You stay warm.
That was fun there. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for being here. Hopefully we'll get to talk again next month. Bill McAnally is our home improvement expert. He comes by once a month or so to talk about home improvement issues and to answer your questions as well. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Dennis Reese, Matt Alvarez, Rick Brewer, and Caitlin Harrop. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You never need to miss an episode of Talk of Iowa. You can subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and particularly if you missed any of the shows last week during Iowa Week, I suggest going and catching up on the Talk of Iowa podcast. Just search for Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.